Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. What's going on with folks? It's been a minute. I hope everybody is good. I hope things are good with you, with yours, your loved ones, all that good stuff. I'm blessed. It's been a blessed week. Been under the weather. If you're watching me live, you can probably see it in my face. But it's good, though. Got a lot to be thankful for, you know. So I'm really, you know, it's been a busy time, and I need to update y'all on that stuff. But first, I gotta start with like all the really great news. So earlier this week, both my brothers, my brother Will and my homie Mylan, two of my best peoples on this planet, they both got their acceptances into UC Berkeley and will be transferring in together, and so that's cool. They get to go in there together and knock that thing out, do what it is they want to do. I'm happy for them, man. They had this, you know, they were on these journeys and they worked hard. So I'm proud that that's kind of paying off for them. And then I'm happy about France. France elected as president. They did not go the way of the neocon in the tradition of Brexit and Trump. They actually elected a centrist, and we're going to see how that plays out, how that goes down. But, you know, I think with the way in which the world was going, a lot of folks had their fingers crossed because that's just the way stuff had been trending. So thank y'all for making a wise choice. So what's new? So I've talked about this a bit. I talked about leaving the district. For those that don't know, that might be joining, I worked at a school, at the Oakland Unified School District. I loved it. I loved the work that I did there. Loved the superintendent that I was working for. Moved on, and I really wanted to stay. But then I got this opportunity to start my own thing, focused on student voice. But what it's really focusing on is helping young black kids navigate a system that's broken and that hasn't worked for them. And I gave this presentation today in my doctoral program that talked a little bit about that. That's what my, you know, what I hope to do my dissertation on. But, you know, the reasons that black kids aren't successful, it always comes down, and we know this, like poverty, racism, these big, huge things. And the thing is, I just don't expect racist institutions to wake up and not be racist anymore. So what do we give people that they can use now? What is it that got me through? What is it that got other people, that small percentage of young black folks that's killed it and moved on to go to college and grad school or start businesses or whatever the case is? And the thing that what the research was telling me, the data and all that good stuff was saying that these kids knew how to navigate. So how are we helping our kids navigate? Like the only reason, if I get this degree and it only serves me, you know, that's not the purpose of this. Like, how do I give what God's blessed me with to other people? How do I give my social capital to kids that grew up like I did? And that's the way in which I think we should do it. There's going to be a lot of people working on those big issues, and I'm down with that, and I think that that's dope, and I'm going to support that. I want to be able to tell moms and dads and kids what they can do tomorrow, what they can do today, to be successful and get what they need from these systems. And so that's something that means a lot to me. So the way I've been trying to build this out is I built a general vision and a mission, and I built some skeletons. But what I really needed to do, if I said a student voice, then I had to go and make sure that my platform was representative of student voice. So my goal is to be in front of 100 kids, 100 young people, and tell them what this vision is and what I'm doing and why, and ask them what they think and get their thoughts and incorporate those thoughts in there. And I want to do that in front of 100 people. So this leads me to a story. So Mylan, shout out to Mylan. Scotch, I like scotch. Mylan is at this new organization. I think it's called the Reset Foundation. And he's working with young folks that's about between 18 and 22 or something like that. I may have got that wrong, but, you know, that are actually in the system, like are in jail and like they get, it's almost like it's not camp, but they get to do this instead, you know, instead of just like going to traditional prison or whatnot. And so I got to meet these young folks, and there was this one kid that stood out. It was this one kid that he said, well, they all stood out. Let me be clear. I was humbled by the entire experience and sitting with these brothers in their circle and like listening to them talk. But it was this one kid, this one young man, he's 20, 21 years old, and it impacted me, man. We both from North Oakland. You know, he got Ice City tatted on him, and he's just a good kid, man. I was listening to him, and, you know, he had this big, bright smile. You know, the kid was in shape. The kid was sharp in the sense of, I mean, his wit. The kid was just so witty. And he started to talk, and he was just so grateful for the opportunities that he had, right? And so I told a little bit of my story and who I was, and we chatted for a little bit. But then when I got to just listen to him and his story, you know, it's a 21-year-old kid that is speaking as if he's 80, you know, speaking as if he's at the end of his road, talking about his hopes and dreams as past tense. I'm not that much older than him. You know, I'm early 30s. I'm only a decade above him, right? And so it was just humbling, because that kid had so much life, and he had so much wit and his personality just about him. And I just know that if he got in front of other young people that was like 14 and 15 years old and told his story and told them like the truths of his experiences, especially to some of these kids that are going down the same path as him, like I know what it's going to do. I know how wild that's going to be. Like, I know how that's going to impact young folks if they can hear him. Like, I'm going to find a way to put that kid on. Like, I'm going to find a way to build a platform where that young man can have conversations with other young men. I'm going to do it. I haven't figured out totally how. I haven't figured out exactly the what of that, but I'm going to make sure that happens, because there's a sect of young folks that listen to me, that I will talk and they will be on my every word. There are, you know, when I started doing this type of work, I targeted kids that where I saw myself in, because these are the things that I was yearning for and looking for when I was younger, and it wasn't really there. Like that hope and that stuff, it just wasn't there in that same way. And so, you know, I want to make sure that like that those kids had a voice, right? And I'll go into a little bit more of that. But there's also a group of kids that's different. That's not like me. That's like this other kid. Like, I'm not built the same way that kid is. Actually, when that kid was talking, I imagine that's what it would look like if my father would have gotten one of those opportunities, instead of going to jail, to be in one of those camps and just talking about his life and reflecting on those things. There's a group of young people that fit that mold, and they need somebody that's out talking to them. I mean, it was powerful. It was really powerful, but I'm gonna figure it out. And so, you know, now that I'm on this journey, this social entrepreneurship, educational entrepreneurship, you know, whatever you call it. Hold on. I don't know what's going on with this internet, y'all, but we're gonna work it out. Let's see. We're going to work it out. But yeah, it was just powerful, man. Now that I'm in this journey, though, what does it mean to be an entrepreneur in this space? You know, what does it mean to build something that's actually of value, that's going to be able to sustain itself, but also like I love my people. So what am I adding to the equation? Like, what am I adding for folks that they can benefit from? What if you are a Black parent that's listening in right now? Like, I'm wanting to build something that you can use for your child or for yourself to make sure your kid is okay. Because here's the thing. I have no faith in a lot of these systems, they are racist. We are dealing in poverty. They are not necessarily built to serve us. They have not served us well, right? And I don't expect that to turn around tomorrow, even though I know there are some amazing people working on these systems. I was a person working on this system. I still am. I believe that those things can happen. But there are kids that are struggling right now. So that's the piece I want to figure out for folks. So when I write those articles, like the article about the questions that parents can ask, like, that actually hit because so many parents needed that, right? And, like, I wrote that, I think, a year ago at this point, and people still, I still get emails about it. I still get asked about it, asked to speak on it. And so, you know, it's how are we leaving something to really, really help people? I just published a new article. You should go check it out. It's called, basically, it's about student voice, the third way approach. And what I'm talking about is not just basically building a platform or having kids go up in front of a school board and say what an adult is telling them to say or advocate in that type of way. What I'm talking about is going to these spaces where young people are and, like, making them aware of where they're at, making them aware of these systems, but also, like, just listening. Like, what is it that what does your day-to-day look like? Like, real talk, what does your day-to-day, like, actually look like? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is it that you need in order for you to feel successful, for you to feel supported? And then my job as an adult is to now make sure you have that thing. See, the way that we've been doing student voice is backwards. What we do now is that we'll say, okay, this is the issue we're gonna solve. Gang up a bunch of kids, bring them down to the school board meeting or the city hall. We're going to take out some cards and they're going to talk. And what we do is we make those kids stay up past their bedtime. We promise them pizza. And then we have them, like, say what we need them to say. Fam, that's kids working for adults. Like, that's how I see that. That's not. And let me give you another little secret. That's not when you drag those kids up there, regardless of what side you on, that's not really to have an impact on decision makers per se. What that is that's supposed to catch the public eye. That's supposed to catch the eye of a reporter. Like, we know when somebody is like, oh, I know who wrote that for them. Like, I know who told them to say that. You know what I mean? Like we know. So that is children working for adults, and adults need to be working for children. So if I follow a child through school all day, if I know his path to school, if I know what's going on at home, if I know what his classrooms is like, if I know what he's asking about, if I know how much or how little he knows about navigating the system, now I have information, data, things that I can actually react to, that I can do something to, that I can plan something on. That's how that should be going. Adults should be working for kids. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just covering all over Oakland, just talking to groups of Black kids, Black students. And what I might end up building is, it can look a bunch of different ways, but what there probably will be is some type of stipend for young people, maybe like an iPad or something else that they might need that can help them. It's going to be a lot of fun for them, and it is going to be something that helps them build navigation skills, so they can get through this system to make it work for them. That's what this is about. How are we making these things work for our people? You know, so that's that piece, man. You know, I just watched a movie. You know, you talk about gangster movies and stuff. You know, a lot of folks is like fans of gangster movies, like Scarface and all that stuff. I do think I love Goodfellas. And I think The Godfather, both 1 and 2, are just American treasures as far as movies are concerned. But I also learned really early that the people in those movies don't like me, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so when I look at real gangster movies, I think of where folks came in and, like, really bossed up and took stuff over. I just watched this movie called The Founder. And The Founder is about Ray Kroc, the person behind McDonald's, and how he kind of took it from being just this one little shop operation from the McDonald brothers and turned it into what it is that we see today. The first 20 minutes of this, like, movie, some of the most inspirational stuff I've seen. You know, and Ray, I've said this before, I don't believe in heroes and villains. I just believe in people. I believe in people that do good things and people that do bad things. I think inside of a person, you do both. I've done both. And so I watched this dude, Ray Kroc, and like his persistence, his savagery, and just the backbone to do these things was interesting, right? Like you see these things and people talk about wanting to run businesses and be these moguls and things of that nature. And it sounds good. And it's like, man, do I want to do that? Like that's something I want to do. Like, but you got to ask yourself, like, do I have a stomach for that? You know, do I got the stomach to take in all the BS that comes to running a company? Like to be ruthless when you need to be ruthless, to like make decisions and move on, to fire folks, right? And so let me break down this Ray Kroc dude. He was in his 50s, like early 50s. I told y'all I was sick, but I wanted to, this is important to me. So I'm trying to sneeze. The sneeze is not coming. It might come though. The sneeze might join us, okay? So just welcome the sneeze when it comes. But Ray Kroc is like in his 50s and he's selling these milkshake machines. And, you know, he finds the McDonald brothers and he sees the operation that they run in. Like they the first folks that like really made fast food. Like they got the wait time down to 30 seconds, just the way in which they worked. Right. And he was just like, damn, like this is bomb. But they only had one store. And so he started working with them and started to build out these franchises and had this real vision for what McDonald's could be. Like Ray Kroc could see into the future. Good entrepreneurs can see into the future. Steve Jobs saw into the future. You know, like it's just Howard Schultz, the owner of Starbucks, the person who ran Starbucks, you know, has a similar story. But he could like see into the future to like build these things. So I'm like, yo, if I'm doing this social entrepreneurship and I'm focused on education, what is it like if I had to look into the future, what is it that I need to be able to see? Like what how do I like build that, right? So back to the story. So Ray starts to grow these businesses. He starts to bump heads with the McDonald brothers because they thought small. And they were content. There was nothing wrong with them being content the way that they were, but it was on a collision course with Ray Kroc. And Ray took care of it, and he handled it. And, you know, he built out the empire that you see today. You know, he looked at it from, it went from being a restaurant to saying, nah, I'm not a burger company. I'm a real estate company. Like, the strategy around that and the moves that he had to make, I mean, that's just crazy, right? Like, so I watched it, man, and there's a lot of reflecting that went on in that movie. I like that kind of stuff. I like nerdy stuff like that. The other thing that I'm listening to right now, I don't know how many of y'all got it, and I probably shouldn't be taking attention away from my own podcast, but it's fine. It's all love. There's this podcast called Mogul, and it's about the life and death of Chris Lighty. It's on Spotify. I think they're on like the third episode. It's so dope. So it's about the rock. Chris Lighty was the CEO of Violator Management. You know, he's responsible for 50 Cent's career, Busta Rhymes, Tribes. Like he is a legend. And a few years ago, he killed himself, or allegedly he killed himself. But it's walking through like his rise to being just a broke kid on the block to like this mogul. And the theme that runs through all this stuff, man, is sacrifice, is discipline, stress, the strains that it takes, and if you got the stomach and the heart. So it's just like, yo, I am a person that thinks that you can have a better life. I'm somebody that, you know, I remember what the shelter smells like, yo. I can smell that shelter right now. Even where I can't smell nothing else because my nose is stopped up. See? But I can smell that shelter right now. I figured out, and I'm not where I want to be, but I figured out that if I did, if I outwork the people around me, if I found a way to make education work for me, if that's the hustle that I'm riding on up out of here, I figured out that I could change my plot in life. Now, in my eyes, I'm not successful yet, but I make more money than my parents have ever seen, ever dreamed about. I'm one of the first people in my family, not just to go to college or whatever, or travel outside the country. I'm like one of the first people in my family to have a salary. You know what I mean? Like, that's some big stuff, right? So it's like, okay, well, Charles, these things got you here. Your instincts and stuff got you here. Your discipline got you here. I mean, let's just be real about the discipline that it takes. Let's be real about the sacrifices that are there. And I talk about this often, but the one thing that bothers me is if somebody tells me that I'm lucky. Like, it's not like, did you ever watch like the Back to the Future movies? And the thing that always got Marty in trouble was when somebody called him yellow. Like, you yellow, like you a punk, right? And he would always do something stupid. Lucky is that's that for me. And so I hate it because I worked my ass off to like get to this place. And I'm not where I want to be. And I know that the things that got me here are not going to necessarily be the things that take me over the top. But let's talk about what those sacrifices are just for the folks listening, right? So I paid my own way through college. My parents turned in my financial aid forms late. They didn't really understand it. They didn't know how to navigate that system, and I didn't know how to navigate it, so it got to be really expensive, and I owe a lot of money. I got into college. I was remedial everything. So that first full year, I took a bunch of classes. I had to take 6 classes total, 3 English, 3 math that didn't count towards anything because I was remedial. So I took those credits on top of my other credits so I wouldn't fall behind so I could still graduate in those 4 years. Through that time, I got a job at a bookstore, at the shoe store. I love shoes. I love Jordans. I used to dream about Jordans. I wanted to like be able to have those things because dudes that had girls wore J's, and J's just looked dope. And they just, you didn't even need a good outfit. If you had the shoes, everything else just kind of worked out, right? So I got the job, and then I worked hard. I worked as many hours as they gave me at the shoe store. And then I saw how much Jordans cost versus how much they cost to make. And then I said, I don't think I want to spend my money on that. So I still appreciate shoe culture. I still appreciate Jordans. I have a few pair. I don't know if I even pay for those. Like, I have pairs from years ago. And I appreciate the culture. But that's just not something I necessarily spend my money on. So I did that. I needed to have another job. I had a work study job. And so somebody gave me game. They said, listen, if you're going to do work study where you can actually study. And so I got a job at the library. And this was dope because this is before all the journals and articles were uploaded into like these databases. We still had to use microfilm, microfiche, and look up things manually in the stacks. And so this worked out for me because professors don't do their own research. So what they'll do is they'll need a bunch of articles. I know y'all can hear that outside. My bad. I got the patio open because it's hot. And my neighbor has a Audi R8 and you can just hear it because it's loud as hell. Okay. Cool. So back to these professors, they don't look up their own research. So what they would do is you come into work and it'd be like a list of all these articles. So you learn how to pull articles and you learn how to use microfilm and microfiche and you do it really quickly. So when I actually had to do research papers, I was ahead of the game. Like, I knew how to do that really fast. And then when it was quiet, I would just study, right? So I did that. I'm taking 16 to 20 units every semester. I went to school every semester, yo. Like, I didn't take summers off. I never had less than 16 units. I usually had about 20, sometimes 22. And I finished in those 4 years because I remember when I got to this college. And I remember it was like all like the black kids, and they put us together in this lecture hall. And this dude was talking to us at the lecture hall, and he was like, look to the left of you and look to the right of you. Two of the three of y'all are not gonna make it. You're gonna start hanging out in the quad, you're gonna start going out, you're gonna get caught up in this college life, and you're not gonna finish. I'm not being a hater, I'm just telling you the facts, right? And I was like, damn, shit, like, I can't be one of those dudes. Like, I can't go back to North Oakland, I can't go back to Gaskill, like, having failed this. Like, I can't do it. So I started making those sacrifices then. And, you know, one of the first things that goes, man, is, like, your personal relationships. And so, you know, I think that, listen, I've always been a person that, like, I'm somebody that believes in love. I believe in friendship. Like, I believe in all these things. But we gotta back up a little bit, right? Like, you gotta understand, I'm from the hood. That, like, it ain't that many married couples in the hood. And it's a bunch of baby mamas and stuff like that. And, like, it's some married couples. Like, my parents was married. But I also saw, like, the dysfunctions of that marriage early on. Like, my parents are the cutest things now. But when I was a kid, it wasn't sweet. And so, I don't know if I got into this place where I saw that as, like, a factor to fail in. If I saw that as something holding you back. I don't know, man. I'm not sure. But I've never, I mean, I moved a lot. Maybe that's what it is. Like, I moved, and I'm not just talking about, like, relationships with, like, women. I'm talking about just, like, friendships, relationships, all those things. I'm one of those people that believes, like misery loves company. If you're the smartest person in your crew, you're in the wrong crew. Like, I truly believe that. Like, if you're not, relationships are reciprocal. And once one person is given more, or it's not a reciprocity that's there, then I think that relationship is dead, any type of relationship, right? And so moving a lot, I went to 11 schools. Like, I lived in Chicago, then Kentucky, then Chicago, then Kentucky, then Chicago, then Kentucky, then Oakland, then San Francisco, then Oakland, then Hayward, then back to East Oakland. Like, I moved so much, and, like, the people in my life were so temporary. Like, and I remember being in church and them saying that, you know, people are, you know, it's a season. Like, I remember that. You know what I'm saying? And so when I think about that, right? Like, I've had some great relationships. I had some great friendships. I know some amazing people. But I always knew that I had to focus on the goal. And if anything got in the way of the goal, then I had to move on. And it can sound a certain type of way, and I try to keep those relationships intact as best as I can. But it worked. I mean, I try not to get caught up in a lot of things, right? It worked for me. And so, you know, that's how I look at those things. Now, I'm not opposed to marriage. I'm not opposed to children. I mean, we have these conversations on here, and, you know, y'all mess with me about it. I get DMs from y'all. I get comments. I get, you know, Twitter posts and Facebook posts about me needing to get married and stuff. And listen, man, the right woman, hey, like, I don't think you even got power over that. But I think people get upset at the fact that I don't actively look for those things. All I'm looking for right now is to hit the goal that I set for myself. And it's okay if that's not how you want to rock in your life. Like, that's fine. That is fine. And I know that it's hard on my mama. I know it's hard on my parents that I'm not, like, you know, bringing them a grandbaby in the crib and letting them spoil that kid and all that stuff. I know. But I'm trying to build something that people in my family have never had before. I'm trying to build real wealth. I'm trying to build something that if somebody does end up sharing my name, they can be proud of. Because this story, a little dusty nigga that grew up in between all those places, that had no home, that only started and finished at one school, which was Westlake Middle Junior High School. And then when I started college, those are the only schools where I started at that school and graduated out of that school. And Westlake that only happened because it was just seventh and eighth grade. The school changed the last year I was there from to where you graduated at eighth grade, not ninth grade. So, like, that's the goal. The goal is to build something. You know what I'm saying? And, like, and I'm not going to stop on that. So how do I build something that's going to help kids in Chicago, Illinois, Paducah, Kentucky, and Oakland, California? So that's where we are now. And that's where I need you all's help. So if you got young folks, high school age black kids, I will sit with them. I will talk to them over Skype. You know what I'm saying? I will take them out to eat. It don't matter. I need to get in front of at least 100 of these kids as I build out this platform. But you get to choose the type of life you want to live, yo. Like, the fact that you hear, the fact that you're able to watch this or listen to this on an iPhone, on an iPad, on your computer, however you listen, is a blessing. Like, you living in the most technologically advanced time that the history of the world has ever seen. And you get to, and for the most part, some of y'all are outside the country listening to this. But for the most part, you are in the richest country. Even with Trump here, even with all this craziness, like, you are in a, if there's any place where you can change the trajectory of your lineage, is here. And I'm either going to do that or I'm going to die trying to do it. There's something greater for me here. And if it's not, then I will find it beyond, like, the gates of heaven or something. But, like, I mean that when I say that. When I talk about that focus, I mean it. And I say this as somebody who makes mistakes every single day. I made a stupid mistake, like, last night. Like every day, I find a way to mess up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not even, it's just life. And so you got to pick that up, man. You got to keep moving forward. You cannot wallow in that, yo. You can't wallow in that distress. You can't do it. So aside from all these, the trips that you might see me taking, or the folks you might see me eating with, or, you know, the type of lifestyle that I live now, like, I work really, really hard to get that. And I'm still a dude that buys this nice little gold chain that I bought from a crackhead in North Oakland a few weeks ago. Like, I am who I am. And for kids coming up behind me, it is okay to be you. It is okay to be you, dog. It is okay that you was not, that you didn't grow up with a bunch of money. And if you did grow with a bunch of money, that's okay too. Like, wherever you starting at, it's okay. And you can move up if you want. You can do things to make yourself happy. And if you happy making $50,000 a year, driving a truck, having a beautiful family and kids that you can come home and they hug you and they kiss you and a dog that obeys you, dog, more power to you. That is that's a beautiful thing. And if you want to build, if you want to make several hundred thousand dollars a year and you want to build something and you want to work tirelessly to do that and sacrifice, you know, friends and relationships and fun and all those things, that's dope too. And I made a choice. The question is, what the whole purpose of this podcast is, are you making choices in your life? Are you doing what you want to do? Even when we talk about education, I fight for choice because I think that black folks need to have a choice in something. That's success to me, being able to choose, being able to say I have path A and path B, and they both not being complete crap. But, like, you can change the trajectory of your lineage, yo. That's just what I believe. That's what I feel. At any rate, man, it's been good talking to you all. I know I sound funny and weird. I would drink more of my scotch. I would do more of my work. I will come back next week with another reflection on what it's like starting this, running this organization and building it from nothing. And I appreciate your comments. I appreciate the love. You can always have a conversation with me on Twitter or IG, and that's at @CColeIII. That's at @CColeIII. And on Facebook, if you just type in Charles Cole, it should come up. And go check out that latest article that I wrote. It's on Huffington Post now. It'll probably be published in a few other places. It's called Building Student Voice, a Third Way Approach. I will link it into the show notes. And as always, man, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. Like, we're responsible for us. Nobody is coming to save us. It's it. It's just us. It's just you. Damn us. It's just you. How you gonna provide for you and yours? What needs to be different? What you need to do more of and what you need to do less of? I ain't got the answers. I'm trying to figure it out myself. But I got love for y'all, man. I see y'all on the other side of it. Peace.